W Mobile. Good morning. You can't complain, and yourself?
So just headed down the usual drag to the work office this morning. 38 degrees up here at, I guess I'm around exit 87.
33 here in Greer, not too bad.
I'm from Greer, so that's pretty good. I'll take that.
Better battery mileage, right?
Horrible right now.
Because you're running the heat.
Finding the heat. I usually keep it pretty warm in the car, so I will definitely use about a third of my energy just to keep the cabin warm.
This one, I turned it on defrost the other day, and it uses a lot more engine power that way versus the economy heat and cool.
Status display, and I've gone 26.5 miles from the house, and I've used 9 kilowatt hours. 20% of that has been used for heat, so 20% ain't too bad, but definitely do better in the summer.
They're about the people that are way up north where it's, down in the teens and zero, in the morning. I bet they're getting terrible.
A whole lot worse, because the batteries will heat themselves if they get too cold, and, you get same performance, but right now I'm looking at 2.9 miles per kilowatt hour, and in warmer weather I can get four and a half, so definitely not doing as well.
An agenda for this weekend.
Our kitchen remodel, gotta pull the window out. Hang on a second. We're pulling the window out. We're knocking down some of the brick exterior wall, and we're going to put in, we're taking out one window and we're putting in three to just kind of open up the kitchen, letting in a lot more light. So Courtney's dad's coming up, and we're going to work on that this weekend.
And isn't it supposed to rain up there along about Sunday?
We can get all this done tomorrow.
We had Wonder World came out probably about 10 years ago, put in some windows, and man, it don't take them guys no time.
Replacements, or were you having to do construction?
Just replacements.
Replacements can take, an hour or something like that, because it's just, you just take the trim off and, cut the nails, and those things slide right out. You slide the new ones in, screw them in, you're done.
You pop them out, it's a wonder why you even bother to lock your door.
People on it.
Yeah, I know that's right. KN4TFW.
W, what do you guys got going on this weekend?
A little bit of gift wrapping and maybe running out picking up the last couple of granddaughters, a few little gifts. But other than that, I think nothing special. My wife's kind of a little bit under the weather. She was getting better this week, and then last night she seemed like she took a turn for the worse.
Around, a bunch of people in my office are sick this week, and Courtney and I had it last weekend a little bit. Both of the kids are still coughing up a little bit, but it just seems like ever since they went back to school this year, it's been perpetually sick.
Now, she was, she was just really cold, couldn't get warm last night.
Up a little bit myself. We have a heated mattress, and I've had the temperature turned up lately too, just trying to stay warm. And I've had a fire going in the furnace at the house, pretty much constantly, just to keep it a little warmer in there. So I don't know why I feel so cold this winter, but it's pretty bad.
A lot more damp than it usually is. I mean, it was, yesterday I got home, it was calling at 50, but it was breezy, and I was out there walking a dog, and man, I was glad I had on my heavy coat.
Yeah, they definitely make it feel colder.
I mean, out west, like in Colorado, you can be, zero and don't feel as cold as 30 here.
Just out there in Colorado, you also don't feel as hot because it's so dry. Gift shopping to do. I still don't know what I'm going to get Courtney. We've sort of been on the warpath of treating ourselves this year. So we had the patio put in the spring. We just got ourselves a nice new coffee machine. So I got to think of something to get her that's, you know, not too much, but something still pretty creative and thoughtful. So I'm going to try to do that today and see if I can figure out something neat.
Same here. It's like, you know, when you've been together for a while or you're a little older, you almost have everything you need, right?
Yeah, something she just buys it. So it's like, you know, I don't know what she's, you know, longing for, because, you know, anytime she ever, like this coffee machine, you know, we wanted a coffee machine, so we just bought it, you know. We didn't wait for Christmas or make it a gift or anything. We just kind of bought it. So, it's kind of tough.
KFW, we did leave a space for you.
How y'all gentlemen doing this morning? And I recommend a KitchenAid mixer. That's what I got my wife, and it's still paying dividends. Smart choice for
creating.
Hey, the noodle makers, she can try doing the pasta stuff. I said, that'd be awesome to have some fresh pasta.
Yeah, I think I might actually do that. Le Creuset stoneware in her Amazon wish list, but that's a little rich for my blood.
Just bought some pans that'll run you pretty quick.
And just the Dutch oven was something like $500.
Get her a Lodge enameled Dutch oven.
You buy yourself a Lodge Dutch oven and another Lodge piece, so I can't get her that because she already bought it for herself. Yeah, it's tough to buy for her because she always beats me to it.
I always fall back on jewelry.
Yeah, she doesn't really wear jewelry.
Yeah, I get the wife to update her wish list for me and the boys before Christmas because, I mean, you never know. Unless I just pick up on something during the year like I've done before, but I told her this year I was struggling a little bit because I didn't quite know what she needed. You know, she had all the kitchen appliances I thought she needed, so I didn't know.
Well, we're redoing the entire kitchen right now. So, you know, she's already got all of the appliances bought and, you know, the design done and everything. So, you know, but I think the noodle maker is a great idea because she does, you know, she does love the KitchenAid mixer. And she loves cooking and everything about food, so that might actually be a really good thing.
My pasta wasn't too bad to make, and fresh pasta is a whole lot better than what you buy in the box. So I've always threatened my wife that I was going to get one, and that whether she uses it or not, I would probably at least try it once.
Pasta a couple of times in the past, and it's always so much better.
And tomorrow morning, I'll be on the road again. Y'all give me a holler. Rare Saturday, so I'll be in on the road tomorrow.
But, so I don't plan on going much of anywhere tomorrow. Courtney's father's coming up, and we're going to be taking a window out of the kitchen and then opening up the brick wall on the exterior to make room for three windows. Try to open up the kitchen space before the cabinet makers come and build all the cabinets. So we're going to be pretty busy on Saturday.
That'd be a big project. I know Ken will be up.
Yeah, I'll just set the fire up my HT.
We'll probably sack a cup of coffee by then.
Not my third. Hey, 10 meters is going to be open this weekend. There's a 10-meter contest, and it's, for whatever reason, it's always open on a contest.
As you were saying, because that's usually the way it works. But everything's open during contest.
And try to work it.
Meters is just the vertical, so. But I get out pretty good.
Again.
Worldwide, I don't remember. I just remember it was 10 meters.
Calendar and see what the rules are. Tell you what, I haven't been on HF a whole lot. I mean, I've let my computer stuff run because I do JSA call. I'll kind of let it run in the background, but. I haven't been on it much at all.
Since I've had an HF antenna up, so I've been, you know, kind of using the buddy pole temporarily here and there. But I'm off for the last 2 weeks of the year, so that's on my list is to try to get some kind of HF antenna put up.
Neat setup with his. I ended up going with a NV said half wave. That was my last antenna I put up, and it's done pretty well. I was happy that I was able to get on pretty much every band that I want. The only one, I think it'll do them all. I've got to use the tuner on most of them, but not for much.
Through 80.
Center fed dipoles, you know, you put up a 133 foot long off center fed and you feed it at the right point, you get all the HF bands.
My, what do they call it, a mystery antenna, it's W5GI or something like that.
The off center fed. I just didn't buy the big one, so I didn't have 80 meters. I ended up doing the M fed halfway because I could configure the wire to run a little different from the house, and ended up being able to pick up 80.
The lot doesn't have any really good trees or anything I can hang points of a dipole from, so I might just stick a vertical in the ground in front of the house and call it a day.
That, what is it? I think it's an MFJ, I want to say it's a 2104, but it looks like the framework of an umbrella. But it just has four different bands, and they're just ham sticks, and that no wires between them.
Looking at DX Engineering or similar at Black Friday to see if they ran any deals on the 6B TV. That's the vertical I'm looking at. I think it does like six or seven bands or something like that.
I was looking at some vertical originally. It was a, I don't know, a 680 something. And that, but it was, man, that sucker was 20 feet tall just by itself.
What on the vertical was just having to put out guidelines.
Something with a little bit of directionality to it.
A 6 meter horizontal beam of the meteor scatter stuff is pretty neat. I'd like to try it. I've never successfully made a contact on it. Parking lot, so I'm gonna say 7-3. Y'all be safe and have a great weekend. Hope I'll holler at you at least Monday morning. KO4 CF, and I'll be there. Goodbye.
Have a good day. Keep up there, and we'll talk to you later. W2JKT. Experience with vertical HF antennas?
But try me anyway.
That's what you feed them with. Is there still a ballon on one of those, or I'm not sure how they're fed.
I mean, the one I have is it's not vertical, I guess, but it's just got a little box up there at the top, kind of like a octagonal box, and it just comes off of there with a piece of coax with a what is it, a T39 off of it?
If you need a transformer for a vertical or not, but you know, I'm sure you probably do at least need something, but I'll do some looking into it because, you know, I definitely need to get something done, and my 2 weeks off at the end of the year will be a good time to do it.
I know my wire that I had, it came off of the center with a ladder line, and it went down to a, it just had a terminal block and coax to it.
Ladder line is what, like 450 ohms or something? So, like, what's how does that play into how you have to match things? You have to use a different kind of antenna tuner for that, and what's the benefit of ladder line?
Don't know. I went up to, you ever been to the wire man up there off of Highway 11?
Coax from him.
Me up. I mean, he had it, and the one I had, it had like 16 feet of wire, and then it had 16 feet of coax, and then it had another 16 feet of wire. That was one leg, and another leg was the same, and then it just came off of the middle with that, that ladder line. And it was, at first he had on the smaller ladder line, and then he went to the bigger ladder line, because I just couldn't ever get it to where it would say that the SWR was good, but the tuner would tune it fine.
I wondered about it because, you know, I've just always used coax and stuff, but I'll have to do some internet research and see if I can figure out what the story is with it.
From my antenna to my radio, I probably had 100 foot of coax.
Zero, which is normal. normal. I think when I lived in Seneca, I had at least 60, 70 feet from my shack down to the antennas, but then they were all really close to the house. There was 25 feet to get from the shack down to the junction box on the side of the house where all the grounding was, and then, you know, another, you know, 50-ish feet or so from the box out to the antennas, and then, you know, the off-center fence that I built, they had a 22-foot vertical coax, you know, feeding them, you know, with a transformer on the bottom of that, so really it was more like 100 feet probably to the feed point.
Have any transformer or anything, it just went, you know, straight to the radio. And that, now the ladder line, I think it had 33 feet of ladder line.
Do you use for HF?
Yaesu FT450D.
Radio. I used to have one of those for a while. I had it for maybe a year. Then I sold it to a buddy of mine who wanted something smaller. I took a, he had a FT3000. So I took his 3000, he took my 450, and we swapped some cash, and then I ended up selling the 3000 because I just didn't like it. So I'm back to using my Kenwood 950 and my 590.
I don't think I can say anything bad about this radio. I mean, it works good. I always get good reports. I mean, I can break through a pile up with 100 watts pretty easy.
Antenna too, so you must have a pretty good antenna setup. But yeah, I love my 950. I mean, it's a 30-year-old radio, but it works fantastic, and I love all the buttons and knobs on it. And of course, the 590 is also a really solid radio, lots of buttons and knobs. I just, one thing I didn't like about the Yaesu radios is that you had to navigate through all these menus all the time to do anything. I just like to have buttons for stuff that I want to do, so the Kenwoods are really good for that.
I haven't explored all the stuff that the radio is capable of doing. I mean, I've done, like, I haven't done any, repeaters on 10 meters. I haven't done that yet or anything. I have warp split, used that function, and that's about it. But I've mostly used it to play around, like, when there's a big contest to, you know, see if I can, you know, pull the station in, weed out the other station, and just trying to learn the radio a little bit.
Hearing on these radios is really advanced, but it takes some learning to get to know how to tweak it right for various conditions. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun of ham radio is just, you know, finding those weak signals and trying to pull them out and see what they are.
Now, you really need to invest in a good set of headphones.
I mean, you need good speaker or good headphones to really, you know, help you, you know, A, you know, the headphones are great because they drown out what's going on around you. I built an interface box for my Pilot headset. I've got a Bose X noise-canceling headset with a boom mic and everything. So I use that a lot when it's noisy in the house because it'll just drown everything out. You know, the fans and stuff like that. You still hear dogs and kids and people talking and stuff, but all the background noise that kind of drowns everything out goes away, and it makes it a lot easier.
Got my cheap set. It's just the ones that we use at the NASCAR race.
PB earmuffs or something?
They're made by, I think, a company called Raceiver or something like that, but it's just... They're pretty decent, but man, it's like having your head in a vise.
That pad firmly to your head, so they typically have strong springs. That's what I like about my Bose headset. It's got very plush pads that don't require a lot of force to make a good seal. You know, they're very comfortable to wear for a long time. You know, if I'm doing like a 4-hour flight or something, you know, I gotta have them on the whole time. So they need to be comfortable.
Right about that. Yeah, I've listened. The only few times I've flown, one of the seats I was sitting in had a jack, and you could listen to the pilot and everything. And it was pretty cool to listen to.
So, you know, if I ever have passengers, you know, they have to wear a headset too because it's loud, and also they need to be able to hear me. You know, as pilot in command, you know, you have to be able to tell people what they need to do. And but yeah, people love listening to air traffic control. It's kind of it's very structured and regimented and everything, but it's also very, very efficient. You know, you say a lot with few words, and it's kind of fun.
We were sitting there at the end of the, I don't want to say the end of the runway, we were 95th runway getting ready to get on the runway, and I look out and I can see all the planes stacked up, you know, coming in, and then the tower asks the pilot, he says, hey, when you get turned onto the runway, can you just go? And he's like, yeah, sure. And it's like, man, I'm looking, I see the planes coming in, and here we are turning onto the runway, and he hammered it down, and I don't know how close it was, but it seemed like it was closer than I wanted.
We're off the ground before the other plane's wheels touch the ground. It's not a runway incursion.
Choked down. We'd have been crashed. FW, I felt like, you know, if anything ever happened to the engine when you first got started or whatever, you know, the other plane would be on you before you could get going.
Those things can move, and you know, they know what they're doing. So you were in no danger whatsoever. So they have it all figured out. They've been doing it a long time.
You know, I always wonder, you're flying along there, and all of a sudden, he banks hard to the left, and then he banks back to the right. And you're like, damn, wonder what that was all about. But, you know, you're listening to the radio, then you hear the air traffic tell him to, you know, deviate for some traffic.
I mean, you know, how many planes are actually up there? It's a very large number. When I lived up in Philadelphia, I was taking some friends up to upstate New York to go hiking one day. It was four of us in the plane, and we were flying through, like, New Jersey, up west of New York City. And, we air traffic control had me all over the place to avoid, you know, traffic routes and star patterns and stuff like that. I eventually just descended below all of everything so I could just keep going in a straight line instead of having to go around everything. So, that was pretty wild.
For him, that, you know, he was asking about, you know, turbulence reports at different altitudes and that. I guess we were experiencing some, and he was trying to get out of it.
Like flying low altitude at night, you know, because there are towers and stuff like that, and more things to worry about. You know, flying higher altitude at night is definitely better. But yeah, turbulence is also fun, especially in a small plane.
One time I was coming back from Colorado to Cincinnati, and we had a really good tailwind, and it said we got up to like 750 miles per hour or whatever, but then the last little bit, I mean, it seemed like we were just barely staying up. It was slowing down to get there at the proper time.
East, you can definitely save some time. East to west, totally different story, but yeah, the prevailing winds are west to east. So those flights are always a lot less time.
Biggest plane you fly?
A four-place single engine. No
precipitation. Just like a prop-type plane?
It's got the private license. I actually did fly a six-place one time. A buddy of mine in Atlanta had a Cherokee 6, 300 horsepower, and that was a pretty fun plane, but it's like the SUV of airplanes. It's big and heavy and slow. Drinks a lot of gas, but you can haul a lot with it. Seneca has an aero, which is a retract, so it's quite a bit faster and a lot more fuel efficient. I think it's 180 or 200 horsepower or something. So you plan around 125 knots in that plane, 135, something like that. That's a pretty decent clip for a small plane.
When we were in Alaska, you saw all the small float planes. That was pretty cool to see.
Floating on both float planes and short takeoff and landing planes, like those big wheeled Huskies that can, you know, take off in 100 feet and stuff like that. Those things are pretty wild.
A little boat ride up there in Fairbanks, and there was some little landing strips beside the river, like you said, for the big tire planes and that. It's like, man, that thing was short. I'm talking about it was really short.
They're light, and the wings have a lot of lift, so they don't have to be going very fast to take off or land.
Fortunately, I'm going to have to leave you. I'm pulling in the parking lot now. So I'm going to have to say 7-3. Hope you have an awesome day and get those windows installed on Saturday before the rain comes and that. And I'll catch you again, I guess, later next week. KN4 TFW 7-3.
Great day. Be safe. We'll catch you next week. This is W2JKT.